Now we've got Mark Tian with us, taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. As we take you to game three of the World Series, the Rangers and the Cardinals are tied at one game apiece. It's Kyle Loesch and it's Matt Harrison taking each other on. We've seen two one-run games. We've seen two games go right down to the wire, and we've seen Alan Craig be a pinch-hit hero in both games. It's not going to happen tonight because he is playing right field and batting second for the St. Louis Cardinals. Mark Tian is with us right now, and Mark, first of all, appreciate it, and appreciate it coming on a weekend and on short notice, and we really, we do. I know we get so many Blue Jays on here, and it's all of their free will and free time, so it's wonderful of you to join us, especially because you're a guy who really didn't get to do much as a Blue Jay, and it would be understandable if you were kind of, well, I don't know so much, but what was it like? Was it, I mean, you're a guy who's played when healthy pretty much every day, but here you were for 6 weeks getting 42 at-bats as a Blue Jay. You had to know the role coming in, but how tough was it to deal with for you?
It was definitely tough. I mean, it was the first time doing it in my career, you know, with Chicago. I fell into that role kind of out of injuries. But I, you know, I understood what had gone on. I kind of got traded over to Toronto, and I think they needed to take on my contract to get Edwin Jackson, which enabled them to get Colby Rasmus. So, you know, I'm aware enough to know what was going on, and I didn't stress about it too much. I kind of thought they might flip me because I looked at the team and saw, you know, the positions I play the best. Obviously, the Blue Jays were, you know, stacked at, and it's a left-handed heavy lineup, and I hit left-handed, so my bat coming off the bench, you know, wouldn't be as valuable as maybe a right-handed bat might be. But, you know, I've been around enough, I'm aware enough to know, you know, what the situation was, so I just kind of, you know, tried to work hard. The good thing was the coaching staff in Toronto is truthfully one of the best coaching staffs I've been around, and I've been around a little bit now, so, you know, it at least kept me excited to come to the field, excited to work on stuff to get better. I knew I wasn't going to get a ton of playing time, but, you know, it kept me excited to keep coming to the field because, you know, young team, guys are excited to come to the park and get better, and it made it easier for me to kind of buy into that and do what I needed to do to kind of get through that and, you know, hopefully next year find a better role or, you know, whatever may happen.
With Mark Tian here, and, you know, it's a testament to you, too, that you came here, you basically sat through August, and they had a hard time just getting you into a game at all. And there you were in September having your best month of the season. You didn't play much in September either, but you still hit .318 and 27 plate appearances, and you managed to stay sharp.
Yeah. I mean, that's a, you know, I guess I can take pride in that, but I think it's a testament to the coaching staff that they continue to work with me every day, and I continue to, you know, be able to enjoy that so I could stay sharp. And, you know, in some ways it might have taken four injuries or whatever else it took for me to get three starts there to end the season, but it was nice to end the season, have a good series, and, you know, leave the season with a better taste in my mouth than I would have otherwise. So, you know, all in all, you know, finish fine, and we'll just kind of work hard this offseason and get ready for next year.
And we're looking forward to seeing you next year. Tell me a little bit about what Sean Kemp told us about you. You guys played together in 04 and 05 with Kansas City. He said when he heard about the trade, he was really excited to hear that you were coming over. He was also excited to hear that Edwin Jackson was coming over, but he got over that pretty quickly. But he was excited that you were coming because he said that throughout the course of his 8 years in the big leagues, you're the funniest guy he's ever been with in a clubhouse.
Well, I'll take that as a great compliment. I don't know. I mean, you know, it was fun to come to a clubhouse where I knew a few guys, you know, Sean being one of those guys and a few other guys that have played with good buddies of mine. You know, John Buck is one of my best buddies in the game, and I know, you know, he had a great year with Toronto a couple years back now. But I came into the clubhouse, and I could just kind of be myself rather than usually I kind of have to sit back for a while and didn't really come out of my shell. But it was nice to kind of come into a comfortable clubhouse, be able to have a good time, you know, joke around a little bit. And, you know, I knew if I wasn't going to get many chances on the field, I at least wanted to be a positive influence in the clubhouse and have fun and make sure everybody, you know, could enjoy those dog days of August and September.
And, you know, you were for us too. You were a guy that we could go to who was always happy to talk, and it was great. And I have to say that on behalf of the media, we appreciate that, because there can be a lot of guys who can get sullen and kind of wave us off and whatever if things aren't going the way they want to go. We have the phone lines open, and we will go to the phones for Mark Tian at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. And they listen to us everywhere. And Jesse is in Wallingford, Connecticut. Say hello to Mark Tian.
How's it going, Mark?
Good. How you doing?
I was wondering, how did you like Ozzie Guina as a manager? And I mean, that's it. And I mean, I met him for you before. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzie, he was definitely entertaining to play for. I think the whole thing that went down in Chicago really was best for both sides. I think, you know, Ozzie kind of had run his course in Chicago, and there was always tension between him and the front office. So, you know, I think he goes to Florida and, you know, raises some excitement there, and they're opening a new stadium and need to have some excitement. Him being a Latin guy and there being a big, you know, Latin culture down there, I think it's huge for that organization. And I think, you know, he kind of run his course in Chicago. He'd done great things for them and helped them win the World Series, and it was kind of time for a change one way or the other. So, you know, personally playing for him, it was good. You know, I kind of fell out of the role I wanted to while playing there, but it wasn't anything to do with him. It was kind of injuries and, you know, him going the hot hand. But, you know, he did make it fun to come to Clubhouse, and it was definitely a unique experience playing for Ozzie every day.
Not a wonder.
All right, thank you. Hey, good luck this season, Mark.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Jesse. It can't have been a wonderful experience playing for Ozzie if you're someone who shies away from the language, from the blue stuff. You don't like the curse words. Ozzie's the wrong guy to play for.
Right. Yeah, he's definitely an entertaining interview, to say the least.
Yes, no question.
I tuned in to see what he said every day.
But very often we can't use the stuff he says in his interviews. So you've played, other than for the Blue Jays, you've played for two other teams in the major leagues, both times, and you've, well, you weren't with the White Sox, you were with the Jays when Ozzie quit, but Tony Pena quit as a manager of the Royals against the Blue Jays, and Ozzie Guillen quit as a manager of the White Sox against the Blue Jays. What do you think's going on there?
That is a weird coincidence, definitely. It was, you know, obviously this time was with the Blue Jays when Ozzie quit, but yeah, that first time, you know, Tony Pena was my first manager in the big leagues, and it was kind of strange. It was getaway day in Toronto, and the bellman came to my room, and, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever, trying to catch a bus over the park, and he says, sorry to hear about your manager, you know, really sorry, and I'm kind of like, what are you talking about? And then go to the clubhouse that day and find out that he'd left the team for whatever reason, and, you know, they kind of put an interim manager in there, but who knows? I guess former managers better look out when Toronto comes to town and I'm on the team.
That's right. When Tian's around, just keep your eye on your job. Let me ask you about this World Series. And I don't know how much you've watched it, but it's been for us quite engrossing. A couple of one-run games and low scoring and great pitching in the World Series, which is weird because we didn't get that much of it in the League Championship Series. Are you watching it at all? And if so, are you watching it as a fan, or are you watching it as a ball player, or how are you seeing it?
It's kind of weird, you know, this year, I was talking with my wife about it. It's strange because this is the first season that, you know, all eight teams are in the playoffs. I've played with one of the guys, you know, there's guys on every team that I've played with somewhere along the line. So I guess that means I've been around for a little bit now, but, you know, I feel myself, you know, pulling for the underdog. I was kind of cheering for the Diamondbacks when I first got out here because I got a couple good buddies out here, you know, that play with them, and I live in Arizona in the offseason. But, you know, throughout the postseason, you just kind of cheer for good games. And, you know, thankfully this offseason's been pretty awesome because – or postseason's been pretty awesome because all the games have kind of come down to the wire. But I expect this series to, now that it's back in Texas, to pick up offensively a little bit. I mean, both bullpens are strong, but I think – both teams will start putting some more runs on the board. And I don't know. I'm not sure who I'm cheering for at this point. I guess still the American League, because that's the league I've always been a part of. And I guess we'll go from there at this point.
That sounds good. Kyle Loesch is pitching tonight, and you were an AL Central guy for a long time, and so was he. So you've got extensive experience against him. He had a phenomenal year for St. Louis this year, arguably the best year he's ever had. What do you think the Rangers need to do against him? He's not a throw the ball through a brick wall kind of guy.
You know, I have faced him a lot, and he wasn't a guy that you feared going in, but he's one of those, you know, he came out of the Minnesota Twins organization where they don't have stuff that's going to woo you if you're just staring there watching tape. But when you get in the box, they're going to throw all their pitches for strikes and work both sides of the plate and establish a fastball and, you know, not leave you a whole bunch of pitches over the middle of the plate. So, you know, I think for him it's important to, you know, have that movement. And I'm not sure what the weather's like in Texas, but I know if you get the ball up there ever, it's tough to keep it in park. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the adjustment comes from going cold weather in St. Louis to, you know, seemingly better hitting ballpark in Texas.
Yeah, you'd have had fun tonight. They're saying that the jet stream is really, really running out there to right center field in Texas tonight, so it could be fun for the left-handed hitters.
Yeah, for sure. I've been there when it's blowing out that way, and yeah, you hit a pop fly out to right center, whether it be right-handed or left-handed, it's going to take off and get in that bullpen. So hopefully see some fireworks tonight.
Yeah, that'd be swell. We are with Mark Tian here, and before I let you go, I got to ask, did they do – I'm assuming they did exit interviews or end of season interviews. You still have a year left on the contract. Have they told you anything about what plans the Blue Jays might have for you in 2012?
Not too much. I mean, obviously that's a good question because the role I was in after the trade wasn't the role, you know, I think I will be in next year, or, you know, for my career. I really can't be in that role if I want my career to kind of extend on. We'll see. You know, you never know what happens in the off season. You know, the Blue Jays are one of the most active teams as far as looking for trades or looking for acquisitions. So, you know, I don't know if that will end up in me being traded or end up in someone else being traded and me being able to fall into a better role. But, you know, we did have exit interviews, and I think more or less, you know, Alex and I talked, and you know, the role I was in after the trade, he knew that's not the best role for me, and I kind of told him that's not the role I want to be in. So, you know, I think it's a big kind of open-ended question at this point and kind of see what happens in the offseason. But for, you know, for right now, I'm under contract with the Blue Jays, and, you know, I look forward to getting in the spring next year and, you know, getting this team continue to head in the right direction.
And you will enjoy delightfully different downtown Dunedin. There's no question about that if you do remain with the organization over the course of the winter. We hope you do, but of course, we only hope you do if you can actually get into some ball games. Because you're right, the role you were in over the last 6 weeks of the season is not conducive to a good and healthy career for anybody. So we wish you the best of luck, and we certainly hope that you find a good role next year wherever you happen to be. Before we let you go, I always send a guy off with a something statistical about their season that they might not have known. But that hopefully will put a smile on their face. And for you, Mark, you didn't get a lot of time, obviously, this year, but I did find something, and it's pretty good, and it's a piece of advice. Put the ball in play early, because you hit 200 over the course of the season, but when you put the first pitch in play, you hit 333. So get up there and swing, and good things will happen.
Well, yeah, I guess pitchers better look out when they get in the box, because I'll be swinging early.
All right. Thanks so much. We really do appreciate your time, and have a great winter.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a good one.